Okay, so I've taken a look at the little, what this guy is putting together. I don't know what he's doing. You know, he's in a suit. I kind of struggle with the whole suit thing. But it looks like he does a side-by-side comparison of the 1979 version of it and then the one that was put out. There was one year where we studied the gospel principles, man. It was the Sunday school curriculum. I seem to recall vaguely. And the one that was modern at that age, which was stripped down a little bit. Instead of being the gospel principles manual that was made to be the primary curriculum for undeveloped areas of the church. It had hymns in the back. So you could, with this book and the scriptures, you could carry on, if not the full program of the church, a really good curriculum into what you need to know about the gospel and a way of pursuing it. I thought it was a really good one. I think the actual text is still available. I think you can still get the updated Gospel Principles Manual, the expurgated version, I guess we could call it, where different parts have been taken out to make it more into the year's study guide for that one. I'm pretty sure it was done. I don't know if this happened during Gordon B. Hinckley when he was a prophet, or pretty shortly after President Boston became a prophet. I think it was really in that kind of a time. Somewhere in Hinckley or in Boston. It wasn't terribly long ago, but it was a while ago. Anyway, who cares? I would take it off of the website so it would have the most updated, the most cleaned up version of it. And I think it comes in the form of being chapter by chapter. I always liked it, from just the whole missionary standpoint, because it stepped through things step by step. I think to a large degree, it took a couple of different patterns from the mindset. It's based on the plan of salvation. It has a flow like that. Of course, it adds a lot more. It tries to put in certain principles of the gospel that make sense along the way. And I thought it was pretty dang good. I don't know who walked it up originally, but it was used for quite a while as a bunch of yellow-shouldered blackbirds. Have a shoulder with yellow and but anyway, it's up there. You probably couldn't hear me too well. Anyway, yeah, I always liked the Gospel Principal Manual. And then there were different manuals that were done in somewhat the same sort of style. For basic priesthood and basic relief society to give you the curriculums for how the church is basically broken down into
different organizations. The Gospel Principles Manual would have been used as your basic Sunday school text. The duties and blessings of the priesthood was for the priesthood. And it could be used for both Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood. In fact, it usually was, because usually you have both the Melchizedek and the Aaronic priesthood, often in small units, would be together. The Latter-day Saint woman was very much spiritual homemaking. Can I be honest? The church first got introduced to the area. It was men needed to work very hard to provide for their families. That tended to be one of the biggest problems that needed to be addressed by the church when entering a new area was making men into good priesthood-bearing husbands and fathers, providers, to make women, to make girls and women into good homemakers and nurturers. And that was where it went. And, you know, you could come back and you'd say, oh, that was so twisted. You know, that's not relevant for working women. And it's like, I said, the church was really kind of down on working women. Since it's not central to the gospel of Jesus Christ, although I think it is definitely into building a Zion society, which I think was one of the things that has kind of fallen off the screen, in that we say if Jesus, now we tend to go with, you know, if we don't have Jesus saying it, we can't do it. Although we are heavy still on going to the temple and getting your endowment, can I be honest, they have kind of just backed off on the whole thing of ceilings. I don't think ceilings are seen as central because of women's liberation. And, of course, we've had extremely prominent Latter-day Saint women who were never married. And even though many of them still preach marriage and family life, the church has kind of backed off this. I find that rather sad. And so that's why the Gospel Principles Manual, I think, would be very, very, everybody says, oh, it's so dated. And you go, yeah, it was before the church kind of got woke a little bit. You know, people say, oh, they didn't get woke at all. And you go, oh, you haven't been around the church much. It got way woke. And it's really quite, it's trying to cater to a larger group of women, to be honest, and to blacks. And other oppressed groups haven't gone so far to be okay with transgenderism, found a way kind of to get around homosexuality, sort of. It still totally offends homosexuals. And I don't use it. Sorry, and I'm using that term wrong. I hate that term. Gays and lesbians who swear up and down that this is the way they are. And prominent, who's the prominent guy? That singer. I forget his name. Gabriel Iglesias, is that his name? I'm not sure. But Latter-day Saint kid. Got really popular. The church really pumped him up. He was featured on many things, and then he completely apostatized, and now he is anti-Mormon. He's even published an entire record that's all it says is how much better his life is away from Mormonism. And it's like, yeah, and you guys, you know, and you go, so what can you do? And you go, it happens. This is what happens when you pump up personalities. I think the brethren have come back and said, we don't do personalities anymore. Because most of the time, even when they become personalities, once they become a personality, they will drop off the face of the earth and speak really bad, and whatever good that they actually did to try and encourage people to be Latter-day Saints, they will come back just as strongly against it and saying, this is why you should not be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because they feel this great need to explain why they're not anymore, and to write a book about it, and to do a music album about it, and to do all that, and you're going, wow, man, I can't think of a more anti-Mormon sort of a guy. And we sent this guy on a mission to sing songs and stuff like that to impress people. I forget where he was, Argentina, Chile? I forget. And now it's just like, well, if you're a fan of his, he's taking you down the sordid pride road, which is his new religion now, is navel staring and, I don't know, playing with himself sexually? I don't know. Or wanting desperately to play with other people sexually. Doesn't matter. But anyway, after looking at what this guy was doing, I was like, oh, this is a yawner. This is a sleeper. And if anybody actually read this sucker, I didn't. I should go back real fast and see how many views it got. I hate to be the guy that rates things by the number of views it gets, but that really kind of is the thing. Does this thing do? No. I can't see it in this menu. Oh, no, there it is. 4,000 views. A whole lot better than what I did. Only 286 things. Heart of Mormon Doctrine and Theology. Bill Reel. I don't know if the same guy does all of these. In each episode, we will unravel how the landscape of the church has evolved. And it's like, you know, when you say that, it just looks like that church isn't true. And you go, yeah. I think he probably thinks that he's not a bad guy that way. And then the hidden doctrines go beyond the basics on earth. The deeper doctrines often linger in the shadows of general church discussion. And you're going, so what's that all about? What does he want that to say? I'm not trying to be the guy that says, oh, no, don't say these things now. And you go, but I think he may swell up changes and say, well, don't you think it would be because of this weird thing, because of this trend? And I'm a person to say that the church does that. It does. You know, my impression of the changes to the endowment recently, which there have been many, and I don't know if they're phased in or if it was just another reaction to things. Some of the biggest changes have been trying to make sure that women aren't pissed off. And not trying to offend single women, women who haven't been able to get married or have no intention of getting married. And it really just skirts the whole issue of it says that they are priestesses and queens in the new and everlasting covenant. But of course it doesn't say what that is. And I think they're taking advantage of the fact that most people don't really understand what that means or really care to know. And don't go into what the new and everlasting covenant is, which is a celestial marriage or eternal marriage or however you want to do it that way, and B, a plurality of wives, which is still in the Doctrine and Covenants. And I know that if they try to take it out of the Doctrine and Covenants, there may be some real issues about that. Things that really deeply offend women to the point to where they don't want to have anything to do with the church particularly. And so most of that kind of language has been taken out. Of course, it was made shorter, and I think that was probably the usual apologist explanation, is that they were both trying to make the endowment a teachable moment, and they were trying not to offend women anymore. And a lot of things were changed, trying to skip that offense. There was also some other things. I'm always quite, every time it just kind of jars me, that something that actually used to flow far better in their cleaning up, it made it so it doesn't make any sense on some level. And I'm not going to talk about the specifics of what goes on in the endowment. So I'm just going to avoid that. Which I know is old fashioned. Well, people say you can talk about nearly everything that happens in the endowment except for some small things. And you go, they must not be very small if they're still kept sacred. But that's okay. You know. Trust me, anybody that looks on YouTube for information, and YouTube's got a lot of it, on LDS practice and thought and how people feel about it, they have total access to every single thing that's ever changed in the endowment, which is quite a bit. So anyway, it's had like 4,000 views. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Compared to mine, which has been what? It's in the single digits probably still. I might have one that's got 12 views. Anything that sounds kind of anti-Mormon always gets more views. So if you start doing view stuff, you start doing titles that are kind of clickbaity, it's all about being provocative. Like all media gets you to do is to be as provocative as you can toward whatever goal you've got running. Oh, so yeah. No, I think I'm going to make this a little more interesting, because this guy gives every impression of being the gospel doctrine teacher up front. But it looks like he's just about the only one that's there that does that. And if we do it a little more interesting, which I think will offend my wife, so I better not do it with her. To make this stuff happen, I'll ask. I'll say, this is what I plan to do. If you want to have anything to do with it, I'll be totally surprised if she says, yeah, let's do that together. It'll be like, oh, awesome, let's do it. Because I totally expect you to say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with anything you're doing, Jason. I have my own life. I have things I do like that, and I do not want to do anything spectacle-wise. It's like, yeah, it says, well, you were a missionary. That was spectacle stuff. You didn't want to be quiet and mousy about that kind of stuff, which is funny because Lisa is not, by nature, a quiet, mousy person. She definitely has her opinions and the stuff that she would like to say. And so we'll just see what she says about it. But I want to go ahead and do this one because I'm working on it. So she goes, oh, well, you've worked on stuff. You've done this, you've done that. It's like, yeah, I know. So I'll probably have fun with it, you know. I'm going to do this the way the anti-Mormons would do it, to try to make it sound as silly, goofy, and stupid as I possibly can. And you know I'm doing that just to be a jerk. These books are not scripture. I'm not going to fall into the trap saying, oh no, we've got to treat all this stuff with the utmost respect. And some guy at BYU put this together, and they kind of work it over for a couple of years, and there was maybe some of the 70s were supposed to keep up with it, and then they stopped doing it for one reason or another because the church decided they wanted to go in a different direction. And you go, no, whatever. It wouldn't be a bad thing to do that with Jesus the Christ and things like that. But I don't know. The fact that James E. Talmadge has been dead long enough, and although the copyright isn't off of it, the whole thing that says that you're backbiting, you're talking smack about an apostle, it's like an apostle from 100 years ago. And therefore, you know, they said, a lot of these things really don't believe that way anymore. We've gone off in other directions. And you go, well, okay. This is just what some of us haven't. And we stay kind of close. Of course, they always say, well, those are those ultra-Orthodox Mormons. And you go, well, you know, and then these end up being older commentaries that the church just doesn't use anymore. I don't think Jesus the Christ and the Articles of Faith are referenced by any sort of manual anymore. It's always either from Scripture or from modern apostles. Or modern leadership, not necessarily just the apostle. Anyway, so there's that. That's what we say. So anyway, that's what I got kind of going that way. I think I want to try something like that. Something gives Lisa and I something to kind of talk about so we don't get off topic and just make trouble for ourselves. Maybe Lisa will go for it. Maybe Lisa will go for it. I think that would be pretty darn cool. Regardless, I think that's all I got. Talk to you later.